Now, if you join me in your Bibles, I'm going to read from John 13, verses 1 through 17. That's on your bulletin up on the screens, or if you brought a Bible, you can follow along. The scripture is John 13, 1 through 17. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, and wiped them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who is bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him, and that is why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Please pray with me. Jesus, we love you this morning, and we thank you for this word. We thank you for this example that you gave us. I pray that as Brian speaks, that your Holy Spirit would be present and would speak to our hearts, that we could learn to be servants, that we could learn to love one another and build a community that reflects your sacrifice and what you've shown us to do. Jesus, we pray all these things in your name. Amen.
All right, good morning, everyone. I invite you to have your bulletin or your Bible with you as we study God's Word. This is week 3 in studying the character of Christ. We're looking at who he was as a man, looking at his character traits, what kind of man that he was. And when we look at his life, we see that we are in need of deep internal heart change, that we need growth in our lives. When we look at Christ, we study his life, it shows us that there are parts of our lives that must grow. And so this morning, we are looking at the topic of serving or being a servant. 2 weeks ago, we looked at humility. Last week, we looked at love. And this morning, we're looking at the topic of being a servant. At the core of this, though, Jesus speaks about love being manifested in different ways. And so love is manifested this morning in this story of what does it mean to be a servant? What does it mean to love other people? So if you have your bulletin, you can see on the bulletin the outline of where we're going. So 3 points. Number one, that Jesus has something for us to learn. He's our teacher this morning. He's going to model it, and then he's going to call us to action. We want to begin with learning from Christ, and as we look at his life, we see how important it is that we understand what love is, what it looks like, and what it leads us to do. If you are following closely to the reading this morning, there was one verse in the midst of this thing that Jesus does when he washes feet, there was one verse that alluded to darkness. And that verse had to do with Judas. My last two sermons, I've had as part of my introduction the topic of pride. And this morning I want to look at this person that we call Judas. And what happens when we even say that name, Judas, like it's a pejorative, it's not a very good word. We think of just this, the most evil of all people. But I think it's worth it for just a moment for us to look at this guy and see what's really going on here. And so as part of our way of introducing this story in John chapter 13, let's look for just a moment and think about Judas for one second and what was missing in his life. So the context of this passage is the final hours in the life of Christ. Tensions are building. He is hours away from the cross. He is hours away from being nailed to the cross and looking out at people as he's dying, taking his final breaths and loving people and giving his life as an atonement for the sin of mankind. It's hours before that, though, that he's spending time with his disciples and he's preparing them and teaching them. And one of the major themes is love and teaching his disciples that you must learn how to love each other. In the midst of that, though, is this guy, and his name is Judas. We all know him. But let's think about him for just a moment, because there's something really important we need to be aware of. Number one, just a quick list just from my thoughts this week. Number one, Judas was around the best preacher of all time. You might have a favorite speaker that you listen to on the internet or somewhere, and we all have speakers that we like and listen to and that we find meaningful to ourselves. Judas had no one better. He had Jesus Christ himself. Judas had the best leader. He had the best training in leadership. If you're in business school and you want to grow in leadership, one of the leading writers is Peter Drucker, and he has all of these amazing books and leadership development to train leaders to be men of integrity and to lead business as well. Judas had Jesus, the most effective, clear communicator, the most pure leader, a man of integrity. Judas was a part of a small group. He was part of a community group. We just announced that we are starting community groups in September. Judas was a part of the best small group of all time, right? Better than anything we will do this fall. He had close friends. You might have me as a leader, Joel or someone else. Judas had Jesus as the leader of that small group. He did amazing things. He was talented in ministry. Jesus sent him out to heal people. He cast out demons. He did all of these amazing things. But something was missing in his life. And the thing that we find that's missing in his life was a willingness to grow in love, a willingness to grow in humility, a willingness to grow in servitude. He had all these talents and skills. He was a part of the group, but he wouldn't grow in love. And so the thing we have to think about this morning as we begin to look at this passage is this. Are you willing to grow in love? Are you willing to grow in love the way Jesus will teach us this morning? Are you willing to grow in love and have it be showed and demonstrated by serving other people, by loving other people? It's the distinguishing trait. We can be around church. We can be around and be involved in leadership. But unless Jesus is making your heart new and renewing your heart and your heart is open to love and growth, we can go down the road of Judas. We can go down that road of being around Christianity, but our heart grows cold and we become indifferent. The Bible says this, that instead of growing in love, his heart grew in other ways. It grew in suspicion, doubting, questioning, and it grew in something else. It grew in greed. And those things are related to pride. And Judas could not grow in love. His heart had become attached to other things. And so we learn in this story some amazing things, but as a way to help us understand that the most important thing that Jesus is talking about here is that we must grow in love for one another. Let me show you how this kind of plays out in this passage. So it begins this way. Chapter 13, verse 1. Jerusalem is buzzing with people. The Passover is coming. And Jesus, as I said, is approaching his final hours. Verse 1 says this. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world, the crucifixion was coming, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And so we'll stop there for a moment and think about this for a minute. Jesus loves his disciples to the end. He's approaching death. And what we don't know, or we don't read this in John's gospel, but other gospels, is that the disciples had just had an argument about who would be the greatest, who has the title, who has the position of power, who had recognition. And Jesus says to his disciples, I love you to the end. Despite this continual bickering, despite this continual problems, despite this continual lack of faith and trust, he loves them to the end. Jesus, in this passage, in this part of his remaining hours, it's John chapter 13 through verse 17. And if you have your Bible, look at the very end of what is called this upper room discourse. He begins with love. Chapter 17, verse 26 says this, and this is Jesus praying. He says this, I have made known to them your name, referring to God as Father, and I will continue to make it known that the love with which you have loved me may be in them. That despite all of these things that are going on, above all else, Jesus wants to train and teach the disciples that you must learn how to love. And it's hard. And so let's learn then what Jesus is teaching us, that we are to love till the end. And let's pick our favorite person, at least one of my favorite people in the Bible, the Apostle Peter. So as we know, the story goes, and as we read this morning, Jesus is going to wash the disciples' feet. And when he comes to Peter, he says this, verse 6. He came to Simon Peter and said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. It's important for us to think about this for a moment. Peter is going to reject this foot washing. He's not going to understand. Jesus is trying to teach them, what does it mean to be loving? What does it mean to be a servant? And Peter doesn't understand. It's worth a moment of your time to consider something, that there might be something in your life right now that Jesus is trying to teach you what it means to love, but you might not understand it. In fact, you might do exactly what Peter is doing. You might reject it and say, no, Lord, I don't want this. You're not doing this. But Jesus might be saying the same thing to you that he says to Peter. What I'm doing right now in your life, you don't fully understand, but afterwards you will understand. Peter says in verse 8 to him, you shall never wash my feet, Lord. And in Greek, in the original language, it's a very harsh, like rebuking of Jesus, that you will not do this to me. Jesus says this, if I do not wash you, you have no share in me. And what we learn here, when you study the Gospel of John, that there's a practical application of this passage, but there's also more going on here than we first get. And you always, if you want to be a good student of the Gospel of John, John often has a tandem of meanings. And Jesus now is alluding to this deeper meaning of love, and he's pointing to the cross. He's pointing to salvation. And Peter is not getting it. So the story continues. Verse 9, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and head. And here Jesus is talking about salvation. He's saying, you don't need that. You have been saved. You have been born again. You have new life in me. Verse 10 says, Jesus said to him, the one who has been bathed does not need to be washed. So Jesus is saying here, you are clean. You have been washed. If you are a follower of Christ here this morning, you are forgiven, that you are clean, that your sins have been forgiven. But what Jesus is saying next is this, is that every follower of Christ is in need of daily renewal. Every follower of Christ is in need of a regular foot washing, a confession of sin, a renewness of grace in your life. And that's what Jesus is saying. The one who has been bathed does not need for a wash except for your feet, because you are completely clean. And you are clean. And then he says this, but not every one of you is clean, referring to Judas, for he knew who was to betray him. And that's why he says, not all of you are clean. So Jesus is teaching his disciples that we are to love with our hearts, that this is a passage that's pointing towards the cross, that salvation is available to all who believe. And he's teaching them the need for renewal in our lives. Next, then, is the model for us. And he teaches them by giving an example. Now, here's one of the major hindrances to this passage to us is understanding cultural differences, that we don't fully grasp what's going on. So, for example, if I were to do that, what I just did, in certain parts of the world, Arab cultures, Indian culture, if I were to put a holy book on the ground or on the stage, people would probably be letting out loud gasps. Some of you might even get up and pick the Bible up from the ground, because we don't understand how significant our feet are. When I was in Indonesia, showing the bottom of your feet to somebody was viewed as rude and inappropriate. There's no lazy chairs where you don't put your feet up on a lazy chair and point your feet at somebody. Feet are dirty. So think about this for a second. Jesus, who claims to be the Son of God, the God-man, invites his disciples into a room for a meal. Something embarrassing is happening. Something weird is happening. Something that makes you kind of squirm. There's no one there to wash the feet. And so Jesus, in his wisdom, takes this as an opportunity to teach his disciples about life. Now, you have to use your imagination a little bit. Imagine that maybe Warren Buffett or somebody like that invites you over to his house for dinner and takes off his jacket, takes off his tie, begins unbuttoning his shirt. Start getting a little bit uncomfortable. Okay, this is what Jesus is doing. Jesus is going to model something. He's going to wrap a towel around his waist, and he's going to get down on his knees and clean the feet of the disciples. Look at the model that Jesus shows. Verse 3, Jesus, knowing that his Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to go back from God, rose from supper, and he lays aside. So he takes off his outer garment, and he takes a towel and ties it around his waist. Now, what's interesting is this, is that in Jewish culture, a Jewish home would, on occasion, have a Jewish servant, and a Jewish family would not even allow a Jewish servant to wash the feet of their guests. They would have a Gentile servant. It was viewed as the lowest of the low, that touching somebody's feet and washing them was inappropriate for anyone of respect and dignity to do. So, the most undignified thing is done by Jesus to help us understand, to model for us what true love is. And true love models and manifests itself by serving. I read this quote this week about feet and Arab culture, and it says this: the shoe is such an offensive symbol that it is seen as culturally rude to cross an ankle over a knee and display the sole of the shoe while talking to another. You might remember years and years ago, it's been years and years now, that when the United States went to war in Iraq, and when the statue, there's that famous video of the statue coming down and men beating the statue with their shoe. There's the famous video of a reporter throwing his shoe at former President Bush. And so the point is this, is trying to understand that the most undignified thing that was culturally sensitive at this time was done by Jesus. Jesus is teaching us an attitude and an action. And maybe the most important thing, the most important place for us to turn to help us get understanding on this is the book of Philippians. Let me just read to you Philippians chapter 2. If you have your Bible, it says this: let each of you look not only to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ. And this is where it parallels with Jesus washing feet, who though was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. Do you see how unique Jesus is? Do you see how different he is than any other religions? Gods don't wash feet. Gods don't do that. But Jesus does. Jesus washes feet as an example, as a way. Verse 5 says this, then he pours water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that was wrapped around him. Think about this for a moment. Now, fear not, I'm not going to wash anyone's feet this morning. But would that cause you to be embarrassed? Would you pull away? Would that feel inappropriate to you? If Jesus appeared and got down on his knees and began to wash your feet, what is he trying to teach here? What is he trying to teach to us as a church family? What is he trying to teach to your own family as a husband, as a wife, as parents? What is he trying to teach you? What is he modeling? Why didn't he just say, hey, Peter, John, wash the feet? Why didn't he call in the owner of the home and say, you own this home, where's your servant? Bring the servant in. What is Jesus trying to teach us? What is he doing this for? At this most important time in the remaining hours of his life, why would he do this? Why would he pick the most demeaning thing culturally at this time? He's modeling something tremendously important. That we are to be people of humility. We are to be people who love. We are people who serve. And when you look at the life of Christ and you study his life, the character traits of humility, of love, of service stand out above others. And Jesus is taking this time to press deep into our hearts. And that's why I said in the beginning that Judas had all of these things going on, but he did not learn how to love. And so the focus, the model, has to be that we learn how to love. That's why Jesus says in Matthew chapter 20 that is why he came. He came to this earth to serve, to seek, and to serve, and to love people. The last thing then is that Jesus calls us to action. He calls everyone to action. Verse 12 through 17 says this, when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I have done? And that's a question that we must answer this morning, that you must be willing to wrestle with in your own life, that you must allow pride to be pushed out of your life and ask yourself, do you understand what Jesus is trying to teach? That a beautiful life is a life of humility, that a beautiful life includes serving and loving and opening your heart to grow in love. Verse 13, you've called me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. Jesus is trying to teach us something. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Do we understand that? Jesus says that specifically, I've modeled this for you, and I'm telling you now that you are called to action, that you are called to love people well, that you are called to serve people well. This is not a recruitment sermon. This is not trying to get people to sign up for something. What I'm calling you to do is to affirm one another. I'm calling on you to serve one another by loving each other, by affirming one another. Look for things in other people's lives that you can encourage them, that you can build them up. You can say something positive. You can look for ways to say thank you. Look for ways to recognize the good things that people are doing. Look for ways to be kind. Let me give you a couple verses to help you. here's how you can serve one another, and maybe ways that you don't normally think about. James chapter 1, verse 19 says this: be quick to listen and slow to speak. You can change somebody's life by just holding your tongue. When at that moment you want to throw that jab, that barb, that get back, that final word, Jesus is saying, you know what? Wash their feet. Instead of having the comeback, wash their feet by being slow to speak. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate towards one another. Instead of being a continual critic, be compassionate. Wash their feet with compassion. Wash their feet with kindness, with an attitude, with a demeanor of your face. It can be as something as simple as a kind gesture. Learning to listen is an impactful way that community is sustained and grows. Learning to listen in a marriage, learning to listen in friendships, learning to listen in a church family is vital for life. Came across a quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer this week on listening, and I think we have it on the board. The first service that one owes to others in the fellowship consists in listening to them. We'll just stop there for 1 second. The hard thing about listening is we always feel like we have the best story to tell. We have the right advice. We always have the answer. That your story is the most funny. Your story has the best point to make. It's not natural to listen well. Just as love to God begins with listening to His Word, so the beginning of love for others is learning to listen to them. Learning can be greater service than speaking. There is a kind of listening, an impatient, inattentive listening that is only waiting for a chance to speak and thus to get rid of the other person. How perfect is that? Is that like our lives? That's just like too close to home for me and to how we live. Just waiting just to say something short and brief and get the person away. I have the answer, I know. The example of washing feet, of humility, is graphic. Of Jesus Christ getting on His hands and knees to wash feet is graphic intentionally. I came across a painting this week, and it's on your bulletin. I know bulletin can't do justice to artwork, but I just spent time this week looking at this and looking at Peter. He's kind of broken to me in this picture, like he's beginning to understand, like the pride is beginning to crack. He's beginning to break, and he's understanding who Jesus is in a more deep and meaningful way. The call to action is this, is will you learn to wash people's feet by loving them, by serving them, by affirming them, by listening to them? Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says this, by carrying each other's burdens. Galatians 6, 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. All we need is a backpack. Should have brought a backpack this morning with 100 pounds on it, right? If I'm carrying 100 pounds and you want to share it with me, that means you're taking 50. You're leaving here with 50 pounds on your back. That's a lot. The only way that you can carry someone else's burden is by absorbing some of it. And we don't want to. We want to do what we think Jesus should have done here. We should have called the servant, should have called the homeowner's servant, say, come wash the feet. I don't want to get dirty. I don't want to take the time to do that. Jesus is saying this, wash their feet by sharing the load, by absorbing some of the pain. When someone's hurting and has a burden, the call isn't to fix it immediately, just share the load. Listen by sharing the load. Next, and we're finishing here. Jesus calls you to wash feet by living in unity. Romans 12:16 says this, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. That's how you can wash people's feet. By living together with people. By not always demanding your own way. By looking to the needs of others. Right in the middle of John chapter 13, Jesus says, this, and we looked at this a couple of weeks ago, that he's going to teach us something new, that we are to love one another as Jesus has loved us. And that includes sacrifice. That includes serving. That includes not demanding your own way. Jesus does this thing, this foot washing thing, to press deep into our hearts, into our lives, and to try to really understand what's happening here so that we will never forget that we are to be known for our love. Jesus says this, above all else, people will know that you are Christians by your love for one another. Programs, budgets, ministry, all these other things that churches can get caught up doing, have their place, they're not bad, but they are unimportant unless we love one another well. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak truth to our lives, that there would be an openness in our hearts to grow, a humility to understand, and that you would impress upon our hearts and our minds to remember that we are called to be people of the towels. Christians are peoples of the towel, that we are foot-washing people, that we are people-loving people, that we are people who serve and look to the needs of others. Father, I pray that you would renew within our hearts a love for one another, because you first love us. We ask these things in your name. Amen.